Hey, it is so good to be in the house of the Lord. This morning, if you were here for pre-service prayer, you can leave now because it was mostly about what I wanted to share today. If you weren't, shame on you, but now you have to listen to me talk for a while. And so it begins. Jane, could you bring my jacket here for a minute? Yep, please. Serious. Jane never knows whether I'm being serious or not. Thank you. So I had no idea that Claudio was going to be here today. How happy are we that Claudio's back? I mean, giddy up. In honor of Claudio, we have a Sox hat. Now, the difference between Claudio's and mine, this is a baseball cap. You can tell it's bent, and it looks like you could play baseball with it. Claudio's is a museum piece that is not meant for anything. Yeah, there you go. Listen, today we're going to be going on to one more of our values here at City Light Church, and I'd like to start by reading from Matthew 28. It happens to be a very personal, challenging, and exciting verse for me. So in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands." Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, so thankful today that we are here, that we love you, that we want to do what you have for us to do. And I pray that that would be our challenge today. In your name, amen. So, yesterday, the ACOP, our Fellowship of Churches, had a grow day, they called it. And they had a gentleman here by the name of Rob Parker. He is the gentleman that started the House of Prayer. I didn't know that. I think I've seen him before, but didn't know very much about him. I just got notice that the District of Saanich, it's collection day for the garbage tomorrow. So, wow. And it was out of joy. He said something when he was talking to us yesterday, and it was out of John chapter 14, verse 6. It says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And Rob Parker yesterday went on to say that Christianity is exclusive. That is an exclusive statement. No one is going to come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. The amazing thing is, as exclusive as that is, it's also 100% inclusive. Isn't that exciting? It's inclusive as well. We can take that and we can say exclusively there is one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And you are every bit as welcome as anybody else because it's based on the salvation message that Jesus Christ died for us. I get excited about that. Just thought I'd share that with you. Okay, if we went to slide 2, I would tell you that this is one of our values. It says, fulfilling Christ's command to make disciples is essential to growing his church and having a global impact. I want to get back to pre-service prayer and the prayers that were given up. And Claudio said we could get on a plane and we could go too. And that's a good thing. Our daughter went to Zambia for 3 years, working in a mission there. That's a good thing. We appreciate that. We know that people need to be brought into the family regardless of where they are, right? It's not just for City Light. It's not just for Victoria. It's not just for BC. The world needs to know this. We are committed, it goes on, to nurturing people in their faith journey. To be a disciple maker, I have to do it. I'd like to say, we have to do it. And that's actually my next statement. But I have to do it. And everybody said, yeah, me too. Because that's it, right? I have to, if I'm going to be a disciple maker, that's up to me. Jesus has given me life, and I have to be a disciple maker. As a church, we can't call ourselves disciple makers until we, every one of us here, are discipling people. We need to do that. Life isn't a matter of what happens to us, but rather us living a purpose-filled life. We have to have purpose in our life. We have to work at that. This is such a great mission. When Tim asked if I would speak on discipleship, I love this. I love this. It's something that's very true and real to my heart. It's something that I believe that I need to continue to do. Hopefully I've been doing. I continue to do until the day that he calls me home. We need to understand that disciple making means that not as City Light Church, but as individuals, we need to understand and act on what I'm called to do. I need to understand what Jesus said when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing and teaching. That happened to include Vancouver Island and a little place called, where do we live? Yeah, okay. Wow. I know, it's scary. It's actually called Vista Heights. So there, who knew? Jesus called me to go to Vista Heights. That wasn't an accident. That's something that he has planned. We need to understand that we are called. We need to understand that this isn't about conversions even. There's nothing wrong with conversions, by the way. Is that right? Conversions are good. Okay, we have it from the authority, so we know it's good. But it's not just about that. It's not just about conversions after an altar call. It would be a wonderful thing, and we're pretty stoked here today with people, but it'd be a wonderful thing if I told Steve, you got to crunch these chairs. You got to move them up here and get them further back. That's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all. I'm not saying that. It would be wonderful if we said to Paul, the audiovisual and stuff is fantastic, but we need it over in the chapel too. And later we're going to need it down in the Sunday school room. Because we have that many people, and we can't build out our walls right now, but if we could pipe that in, that's great. I don't for a second think that we should ever change that. But our disciple-making statement is we are committed. I'd like you to change that every time I say we, please. I am committed to nurturing people in their faith journey. I had an opportunity of going to a Billy Graham crusade. Not to listen. Anybody here know Trevor Berwick? Old name. Canadian champion boxer. Big guy, right? I mean, he is a big guy. He fought the likes of Muhammad Ali, that type of thing. So he was right up there, and I was his bodyguard. I'm pretty sure he felt safe because I was there. Wow. The things you do for pay. No. We're at the Billy Graham Crusade, and I got to move him around. Fortunately, he wanted to go where I was asking him to go. And then I got to sit at the side of the platform while Billy Graham and no kidding, George Beverly Shea sang. Oh, man, I'll tell you. And here we are. My job, I'm paying attention to everything around me. And there's an altar call. Now, when you're in the policing world and people start getting close, that's where it's going to happen, right? That's where somebody crazy like Jeremy will do something. People start coming. So I'm watching and I'm watching. And do you know what? I saw one fellow in particular. He was another policeman. And he kept juggling through the crowd to get to a point where he could see me and he knew that I could see him. Because he wanted me to know, hey, those things that you've been saying, they've had an impact. That's what nurturing is. That's what nurturing is. That's what we need to be doing, right? We need to be nurturing. Sometimes we can get off track. I texted with Mike Cormack last night because he knows all these things. And Mike, you sailed from La Cruz to, is it the Marquis? Marquesa Islands, and in that little sailboat, they had two self-steering systems. So you can just sit back and relax, right? Rob Parker was talking yesterday about how, it wasn't him, it was Bob Goth that was talking about how he sailed to Hawaii. They didn't have any fancy stuff. They couldn't use a GPS, so here he was. And how many times he had to correct. So I got thinking about that. I thought, well, Mike, were you doing the same thing? He says, no, two self-steering things. And then his comment, and we still needed to monitor and make adjustments to maintain the course. That's life. That's our life, right? Something will throw us off. And we can be totally put off. We can forget about the mandate that I have. I have a mandate to tell people about Jesus, but not just to tell them, to move on. We need to monitor, we need to correct. In slide number 3, there it is. Hopefully you can see that better than I can see that, because that's pretty small, but traditionally, we've looked to the pastor or the evangelist or the speaker of God's word. We're looking for a revival meeting, a tent meeting, the Billy Graham crusade. And did many people come to know Jesus through that? They did, 100%. I can remember every night that Billy Graham was in Calgary and he was preaching, and I saw the throngs of people coming and seeing the presence of God on their lives. Like, that was amazing. That was wonderful. We do that. We understand that. And Jesus gave us an example. He spoke to one or two people, spoke to the crowd of 5,000, right? But he invested time in 12 people. He invested time in 12 people. He also invested time in people that crossed his path. Not the group, but his path. When people came by, we have to ask and understand and act on what our purpose is. I have to ask, I have to understand, and I have to act on what my purpose is if I'm going to be part of a disciple-making church. And everybody said, yeah, me too. Because otherwise, I'm a disciple-maker. But we have a vision here. And it's a great vision. We want to be a disciple-making church that nurtures people. Tell me how that's wrong in any way. I just don't get it. I think we're in a good spot. So ask yourself, can I reach that person that I have contact with? I don't care whether it's work, whether it's play, whatever that might be. Can I have contact with that person and earn the right? This is a little different here. Earn the right to be an individual that's involved in their life. Yeah? I can't just, by the way, the Bible says, Jesus, heaven, don't do it, you're in trouble. I have to work, I have to live, I have to be interested enough to have in my life the opportunities to seek out people that I can have an impact in their life. If we're going to be a disciple-making church, we have to do that. We have to do that. We have to be interested in other people's life. We have to be where they work, where they live, where they play, and then earn the right to be able to speak into that. I can tell you, the policing culture is a strange culture. I lived that for 30 years, and I can tell you that as people go and talk to a cop, it's like, be gone, you don't understand, you don't know. And that's a generalized statement, by the way. But it's when there's a connection made on both sides, right? The police officer has a connection, or the person has a connection with the police officer. That's where things change and where things begin to happen. So can I live my life with them that will allow me to share my personal, profound aspect of life that would lead people to Jesus? In slide 4, is that slide 4? There we go. In slide 4, we have traditionally looked to the pastor as being the paid player, and we can get up in the stands and cheer them on. That's a great message. Way to go, Atabi. They should really respond to that. Not the case. I mean, that's good. Don't get me wrong. Shouldn't have said not the case, should I? Yeah, there you go. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 says, now these are the gifts Christ gave the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. And their responsibility is to win the world for Jesus. It's not what it says. It says their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. That falls on me again. I have to be in that spot. I have to be willing to be equipped by God, built up, and moving forward. We go on to the next slide. This was also said. Oh, that's it. This was also said in pre-service prayer. A disciple is a doer, not just a hearer. We have to do more than just listen. We have to act on what we've seen, what we've said. One who is actively participating and not sitting in the stands cheering. A disciple goes out to where people work, to where they live, to where they play, not to be observers, but to be participants in their life. We have to have that. When I'm there, I live my life, I earn the right to be part of their lives, and my goal isn't just, okay, I'm going to convert them, we're going to get going, giddy up. That's not what it's about. We talk in our mission statement about nurturing. We need to do that. We talk in Ephesians about equipping people and building up the church. That's important. The beautiful thing is that we get to repeat it. You do that, and now you're done? Not the case. This is one of these jobs, if I was being cheeky and called it a job, it ends when you end. I honestly pray, God, give me opportunities, give me people that I can be involved with until the day I die. I want that in my life. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19 says, Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. That's your job description right there. In case you're wondering, job description, you can look that up. The first thing is, follow me. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you're not a disciple of Jesus. Remember we talked about the exclusivity? If we're not following Jesus, we're not disciples of Jesus. Again, we can be sitting in church. We can be faithful in church. We can help out. We can do all kinds of things. But if we are not following Jesus, then we're not disciples of Jesus. Then he goes on and he said, I will show you how to do whatever. This is an opportunity for God through his son Jesus to change us. We can be changed here and we can give up our way and follow a new way. I was telling Jeremy before the service started, I need to confess, I'm driving along and there's a lady behind me and I'm doing the speed limit. I can't even see her headlights. That's how close she is. I have promised my wife I will not slam on the brakes anymore. I'm a sinner saved by grace. There you go. Jane wasn't even in the car, but I had a commitment to her, so I thought, okay, I'm not going to slam on the brakes. I didn't. I slowed down. Oh, did I slow down? And then we got to a red light, and I went like this in the mirror, like, shame on you. Like, who am I? And then we started up again, and I was doing the speed limit, and again. So I was getting ready off of Mackenzie, off Admirals, to turn onto Cowper there. And it was a really close. It was about three blocks away, so I had to start slowing down for that turn. Oh. I did not earn the right to tell her that Jesus loves her. I earned the right to get a kick in the backside and be told, grow up, Doug. That's just the way it is. And Jane will take care of that second part later. The third part, we need to be changed, right? That was the second part. We need to be changed. The third part is a commitment to it. We need to be committed. This job, how important is this job? How important is it to look at somebody that is destined to have an eternity in hell, or to have a life here today with loneliness, depression, stress, anxiety, and by the way, that still happens to Christians. It does, no question, but we need to be committed. We need to understand what is at stake here. If we do that, I think we'll care enough to get going. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, it says, this is almost John 15, but not quite. I couldn't find John after I got to Matthew. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, it says, you can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? I said that right, I think. Thistles? We need to have such a rooting in the vine. We need to have that rooting in the vine. The vine is what gives us our identity. It's the vine that gives us our identity. And case in point, has anybody been to Outer Bridge Park? Well, it's just off Royal Oak Drive. Outer Bridge Park. Jane and I are walking the dog through there, and I look and see some wild blueberries. How fortuitous. I grab them, pop them, and wow, that was not from the same vine as any blueberry that I've tasted. I then took a picture of them, found out those weren't blueberries. They were horrid. They were bitter. They were terrible. We need to understand that our strength, our identity, everything about us is in that vine. And that's where we will get our strength. In verse 20, it says, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, some of us, so you can identify people by their listening skills. It doesn't say that. It says by their actions. We need to be doing it by their actions. That same message goes on and on. In slide 9, we're looking at the church. No, sorry. I was going to put that one in about the clone versus the seed and tell you about growing marijuana, and my wife would say, yeah, but he couldn't do it. So let's go to this one, and then I don't have to embarrass myself again. Understanding a biblical principle of discipleship. On the slide on your left, Christian discipleship. Here I am, follow me, I'll show you the way. I took over a section in the police department, and I thought it was my first leadership section, and I thought, watch this. I'm going to show these guys and gals, and we're going to go, and it's amazing. And I found that there was one there, you know, that they actually followed. That's not what it's about. If you look at the second slide, you see that there's life with a body for the eye, and that life shares with a life. And then it goes down and it starts sharing with other lives. Even if we were just looking to fill seats, my very good friend Ken Parker told me, multiplication is way better than addition. We want to multiply, don't we? I don't want to just add, you know, I'm going to go out and get that person. I want to go out and speak life into somebody's life, and they're going to get so excited, they're going to show that slide. How many are old enough you remember the hair shampoo commercial? I told two friends, and they told two friends, and then it went, and so on, and so on. I just thought that would bring a smile to your face. I don't know. You know what? That's what disciple making is. In part, it's you're excited about something. I don't know if you're aware of this, because I haven't come across everybody's path really close. This will shock you because I'm such a young fella, I'm going to be a great grandfather in May. Pretty cool, eh? I will tell everybody in the world that. You know why? Because I'm excited about it. That is the start of discipleship. Jesus is in my life. He's done so many amazing things. I have to tell you. And I want you to experience that same thing. I want you to continue and grow from there. So we already did slide 10, didn't we, Danny? The concept of discipleship is not new. If you have your Bibles, you could turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Just dawned on me why I had my little reminder thing there. Is it? Oh, it's up on the screen, I've just been told. Whoever did those slides was really thinking. Deuteronomy 6, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You must Pay attention to those, the underlined and the highlighted. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. You must commit yourself wholeheartedly. Yeah, I'm really good on Sunday. And actually, if there's a life group on Monday night or Thursday or whatever, I'm pretty good there. I can commit myself to that. We have to commit ourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I give you today. And here's discipleship 101 back then. This is what God was saying to Israel. Repeat them. Repeat it. Repeat it. Repeat it again and again to your children, to those that you have earned the right to be part of their life. Okay? Repeat it again to their children when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Repeat that. That's something that shows importance. We need to do that. We need to be very involved, and it is a repeatable process that we can do. That's what God said to the Israelites. This is what you need to do. It's so important. I want you to tell your kids all the time. I was very good when the kids were at home of telling them, stop that. Don't do that. Wait till your mother gets home. No, that wasn't it. We need to keep on repeating. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people will perish. We have a vision statement. And in our vision statement, it talks about being a disciple-making church, one that will nurture people in love towards Jesus. If we don't have a vision, we're going to perish. In Luke chapter 10, verses 36 and 37, this is the story about the Good Samaritan. And Jesus is talking to one of these Pharisee, rich young ruler, and he says, now which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? If you're familiar with the story, the godly man got as far away from him as possible. Ruler came, same thing, and then the Samaritan, they're not good people, comes, he ministers, and he didn't stop. He took him. He went along and he said, whatever cost is required for him to continue to get better, I got the tab. That, folks, is discipleship. The man replied, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, now go and do the same. That's for us today. Acts says, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In a nutshell, City Light Church has the vision of being a disciple-making church. If I'm not a disciple-maker, if you're not a disciple-maker, we're not a disciple-making church. If you're a disciple-maker and I'm not, we're not a disciple-making church to the capacity that we could be. Everyone here today, we need that. We need that. We must go. Again, that's in Matthew 28 and in Luke 10. We must, I must go. We must, I must make, develop, and grow. We must and I must be a liver, a teacher, a doer of the word, and not somebody that just listens. Now, those of you who know Jesus And hopefully this is something that has caught your heart. I know it has over and over and over again for me in my life. The song that we sang, "In the darkness we're waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes." Oh, boy. He came running for me. Mercy in his eyes, saying, "Man, Doug needs Jesus. He needs me, and I'm not going to disappoint." I don't know where you are in your spiritual walk, whether you're starting, whether you're new, whether you don't understand. Jesus exclusively has announced that he's the way. He's also said, "Come unto me all." If you don't know Jesus today, today's a really good day. If you are a part of City Light Church and you are falling into that disciple-making mode, good on you. That's my prayer for me.